If you'd like to be turning your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, we're going to begin there in just a couple of moments. I appreciate the good reading that Alvin gave for us. Appreciate Max leading us in song as we raise our voices up in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate Bruce and that good prayer that he led us in. And appreciate the presence of each and every one here this morning. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to take some time to talk about what the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves. You see, sadly, there are some who do not believe in the resurrection. We learn about that even in the scriptures in the first century, about some who did not believe there was a resurrection. You remember the Sadducees. We read about that there in Matthew 22 and in verse 23, how the Sadducees, they didn't believe there was a resurrection. There are some even today who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, just as there were some in Corinth, as Alvin just read for us there from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. And there are some today who mock the resurrection of the dead when it's discussed, just as there were some who mocked Paul as he talked about the resurrection of the dead there in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 32. But for us as Christians, the resurrection of the dead, it is the foundation of our faith and hope. And it is a topic of great significance. And the significance of Jesus being resurrected from the dead cannot be understated. I repeat, the significance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, being resurrected from the dead, it cannot be understated. And when we take some time to examine Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we can learn that there are a lot of things that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves. And that's what we're going to take a few moments to talk about this morning. We're going to open up our Bibles this morning and we're going to explore what the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves. And I just want to begin this morning by informing us that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it first proves the truthfulness of the things that Jesus taught. You see, Jesus, as he walked this earth, Jesus taught that he was going to be killed and that he was going to rise the third day. He taught this. We first learn about this there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. And here in Matthew 16 and verse 21, here is where Jesus is going to predict his death and resurrection. And notice what he says. It says here, from the time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So here we learn of Jesus predicting his death and the fact that he was going to be raised the third day. Fast forwarding there to Matthew chapter 17 and in verse number 22 beginning, we see where Jesus again predicts his death and resurrection. Notice here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. It says, now as they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. Again, Jesus predicts his death and his resurrection. Fast forwarding down there to Matthew chapter 20. We see where Jesus predicts his death and resurrection a third time. And here in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 18, Jesus says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. So there we can see that Jesus, he taught not only the fact that he was going to be crucified, but also the fact that he was going to rise from the dead the third day. And you want to know something? Just as Jesus taught that he was going to be crucified and risen from the dead, so he was. Fast forward there to Matthew chapter 28. And here in Matthew chapter 28, beginning here in verse number 1, it says, now after the Sabbath, As the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. That's talking about the tomb where Jesus laid after he was crucified on that cross. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Now watch verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. You see that? Jesus taught that he was going to be crucified and that he was going to rise from the dead the third day. And here in Matthew 28, as we learn about these women going to the tomb of Jesus, they find an angel who informed them of the fact that Jesus that they were looking for, who was crucified, that he wasn't there. Why? Because he was risen, as he said. Again, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves the truthfulness of the things that Jesus taught. And it proves that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Turn your Bibles there with me to Acts chapter 2. Here in Acts chapter 2, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here. We're familiar after Jesus ascended into heaven that the disciples tarried in Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as they begin to speak, they spoke in tongues and they begin to be accused as being drunk. Do you remember? And then Peter stood up with the 11 and what did he say? What did he say? He informed them of the fact that he wasn't drunk. Then he started to preach about Christ, him crucified. And one of the main points in that lesson was the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead. And we're not going to take the time to read all of Peter's sermon there, but just notice, picking up here in Acts chapter 2, and in verse number 24, part of the sermon here in is verse 23, Peter reminding them of the fact that Jesus had been crucified, put to death. But in verse 24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. He goes in to talk about the prophecy of David and about how David prophesied about this. And then just picking up here in verse 30. Let's pick up here in Acts 2 and verse 30 in this part of Peter's sermon. We go on to see Peter preach, therefore being a prophet, that talking about David and that prophecy that he just laid out there. He says, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You see that? When I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of Thomas. Remember Thomas and what he said when Jesus appeared to him? Remember what he said? My Lord, my God. Think about that. And when you think about what the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves, remember that it proves the truthfulness of the things that Jesus taught. And it proves that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. But I also inform us this morning that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice that with me there in Romans chapter 1. And here in Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul makes this very clear as he writes, beginning in verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to his flesh. Now watch this. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Scriptures, according to the Spirit, rather, of holiness. How, Paul? By the resurrection from the dead. Did you catch that? Here Paul informed that Jesus Christ, by the resurrection of the dead, was proven with power to be the Son of God. You see, the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead, it proved him to be the Son of God as he claimed to be. How many times did Jesus claim as he was teaching, as he walked the earth, to be the Son of God? We read about it many accounts in the Gospel of John, right? Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and the resurrection of the dead. Him being raised from the dead proved that he is truly the Son of God. And God the Father, he confirmed that truth by raising him from the dead. And that takes us right into the next point that we can learn that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves. And that is the fact that it proves the power of God the Father. Did you know that? Did you know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead not only proves that he is the Son of God, but it also proves the mighty power of God, our Father in heaven? Notice that with me there in Ephesians chapter 1. And here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 beginning, Paul penned, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Now watch verse 19 and 20. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Did you catch that? Here Paul is reminding us about the mighty power of God, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. You think about that. You think about what an act of mighty power it would have been to raise one from the dead to never die again. That's a mighty act of power, isn't it? And here Paul is exemplifying and reminding us of that mighty power of the Father of glory. You see, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember, when you think about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want you to remember that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross demonstrated God's love for us. We learn about that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But I also want you to remember, in regard to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, how that was a demonstration of the mighty power of God. The death of Jesus demonstrates the love of God, but the resurrection of Jesus from the dead demonstrates the mighty power of God. Remember that when you think about the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But another thing that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves, and that is, it proves that Jesus has abolished death and that he is alive forevermore. You see, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves that Christ overcame death and that he made it of no effect. And we learn about that there in 2 Timothy. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's just pick up here in verse number 8. As the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, he writes, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Pay attention to verse 10. "But has now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Notice that. By the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, here Paul informs that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that gospel, that good news about Jesus Christ, that good news about his death, burial, and resurrection, he informs us here how by that message, by that good news, by that gospel, that immorality is brought to light. Think about that. Again, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it proves that Jesus has abolished death, and it proves that there is hope for life in immorality. For you and I. It proves that Jesus defeated death. And because of that, it proves that you and I can have that hope of eternal life. That hope of immortality. And Paul says, that's why he preaches the gospel. It's in the gospel, that good news. And you think about that. You think about here how Paul informs that the gospel of Jesus Christ gives the reason of the hope for life and immortality. You think about that hope that you and I have. And you think about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it's what gives you and I that hope. You see, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is alive. And he is alive forevermore. We learn about that there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. And in the context here, there, Revelation chapter 1, Jesus appears to John on the island of Patmos. And I want you to notice what Jesus said to John as he appeared to him, as we find recorded in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. Jesus said to him, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Remember that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it proves that he abolished death. And it proves that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is alive forevermore. But I also suggest to us this morning that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves the assurance of a future resurrection from the dead. Go back with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians 15. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, As Alvin read for us a few moments ago there in verse number 20, we again learn that Christ is risen from the dead and that he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I want you to think about something for a moment. That word first fruits found there in verse number 20. You know what that means? You see, that word first fruits, it denotes the beginning. And here, Paul made it very clear that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And if he's the beginning, guess what? There's going to be more. And we can learn from this passage that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that there is going to be a future resurrection of the dead. For time's sake, we're not going to go on and continue to read there in 1 Corinthians 15, but I certainly encourage you to do so. Because Paul goes on to give assurance of that future resurrection there, doesn't he? And take some time this afternoon when you get home. Take some time to open your Bible back up there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and pick up reading where we left off there in verse 20. Read into that chapter. And notice as Paul continues to talk about the resurrection and the future resurrection of the dead. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it gives the assurance of a future resurrection from the dead, as we learn here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, in the fact that Jesus Christ has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He was the first to raise from the dead, to die no more, but he won't be the last. Also, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves that the Christian's hope for eternal life is real. Did you know that? Did you know that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it gives proof that the hope that you and I have for eternal life, that it's real? You see, we learn about this living hope, this hope that is real, there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter 1. And here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 beginning, Peter penned, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," now watch it, "has begotten us again to a living hope." How, Peter? Notice, "through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Stop there for a moment. You see, the source of our hope, the source of our living hope that Peter is talking about here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that hope of eternal life, the source of it is by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's the source of our hope. And he goes on to tell us, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice." Certainly a reason to rejoice, isn't it? That living hope that you and I have, it is such an occasion for us to rejoice. Not only in the good times, but also in the bad times, as Peter's about to go on to say. As he says, "though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." And he tells us why. Verse number 9. "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let that sink in. You see, as children of God, we can truly have that desire and expectation for eternal life. That hope that you and I possess for an eternal home in heaven? It's real. It's real. And it's real because of the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And His resurrection from the dead proves that the hope that you and I have is not wishful thinking. Rather, it's for real. It's for real. Remember that. And be mindful of the fact that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a message of hope. It's the source of our hope. For if Jesus the Christ, if He did not rise from the dead, we'd still be in our sins and our faith would be empty. As Paul informed there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith would be worthless. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And we would be of all men most pitiable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. But that's not the case. Because as we learned a few moments ago there from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, Christ is risen. As Paul informed here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, Christ is risen from the dead. And because He has risen from the dead, you and I can have that hope of eternal life. You and I can have that hope. That hope of life beyond this place we call earth. And that hope of an eternal home we long for in heaven. Once more, what an occasion to rejoice, right? Remember that. And when you think about what the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves, never forget that it proves that the Christian's hope of eternal life is for real. But one more thing to share with you this morning in regard to what the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves. And that is the fact that it proves that there is a coming day of judgment. We learn about that in Acts the 17th chapter. Follow me if you will in your Bibles there to Acts chapter 17. And here in Acts chapter 17, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here. We're familiar with the Apostle Paul preaching what is commonly referred to as his sermon on Mars Hill. And as he is preaching to these Athenians, I want you to notice what Paul tells them. And by the way, Paul talks about the one true living God. He talked about Him. And he talks about here in beginning in verse number 30 of Acts chapter 17 about how God commands all men everywhere to repent. And he gives the reason why that is in the very next verse there in verse 31. When he says, because He, that being God, has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this. He's talking about the assurance of that coming day of judgment. He's given assurance of this to all by how? By raising Him from the dead. Who's he talking about there? None other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here we learn that God has appointed a day to judge the world in righteousness. And how He has committed that judgment to His Son. The one whom He raised from the dead. And because of what Paul declared here in regard to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it proves that God has appointed a day to judge the world in righteousness. It proves that there is a coming day of judgment. And my friends, we all need to be mindful of this fact. We all need to be mindful of the fact that there is a great day coming. A great day coming when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28. A day coming when we all will someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As we learn there in the latter part of Romans chapter 14, verse 10, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. How someday we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we have done, whether good or bad. We need to be prepared for that great day, don't we? Because as we just learned here in Acts chapter 17, verse number 31, God has appointed a day to judge the world in righteousness. And the assurance of this was given by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember that. And be one who is ready to someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that you have done. Knowing, as Paul said there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead at His appearing. Once more, the significance of Jesus being raised from the dead and to be alive forevermore cannot be understated. Can't be understated. Therefore, may we praise and thanks be to God who made this possible and who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse number 57. As we mentioned, there is a great day coming. The question now is, are you prepared for that great day? Are you? If not, you have an opportunity to get prepared for that great day this very hour. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life that we've talked about this day. That hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God. Get back on that straight, narrow path that leads to life this very hour where you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this morning, it would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while you stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.